Ladies and gentlemen, what's up? Davey Gravy coming at you again from the car, like normal. Today's episode 41. I'm going to be talking about the relationship between good, fast, and cheap. You might have heard it before, but I'm going to talk about how it relates to your work. And when you're building online courses, should you go for fast? Should you go for good? Or do you need to go for cheap? And I'll give you examples of when I went for each and how it served me at different points in my business. So let's dive in. So you might have heard the relationship between good, fast, and cheap. People say good, fast, or cheap. Pick two. So that means it can either be good and it can be fast, but it's not going to be cheap, right? Like if you're going to provide really high quality service and you're going to get it done really quickly, think about, you know, like a creative project, like a logo. If you want an awesome logo done fast, you're probably going to have to pay a high price for that. If you want a really quick logo that is cheap, it's probably not going to be good. Or it could be cheap and good, but it's not going to be fast, right? So that's a typical relationship. Good, fast, or cheap, you can pick two. And I've found this to be true internally. You know, usually people talk about that as far as external, like for a client, right? Like, hey, client, pick two if you want, you know, how do you want the quality of my work? But internally, that can be a similar relationship. And I was thinking about it the other day because I've struggled with this decision in my business a lot of times between when I'm making an online course or some kind of digital product or information product or something for my business. On one hand, there's the temptation to get it perfect, right? To work on it really long, work on it for, you know, months and months, be like, ah, no, it's not good enough yet. I can't put it up for sale yet because I still need to add these sections, or you know what, I don't like the way it looks, or I don't like the layout, right? So there's temptations to continually trying to make the product better and better, but you never end up releasing it because you kind of fall into a perfectionism trap. And then on the other hand, you can go to the other sort of extreme and say, well, I just need to get it shipped, as they say. I just need to get this thing live. I need to get it out the door. So I'm just gonna go for it. It may not be the quality I want. It may not be what I want it to be, but I'm just going to put it out there, right? So that's kind of going for the fast approach. And then cheap, to me, at least when you're doing it internally, is kind of a function of a lot, you know, a constraint, if you will, of the other two options. So I'll say this. When I was starting my business, I didn't know kind of what the options for creating online courses was. I just thought, all right, well, I'm gonna make a test prep course for this drone exam. I know people need help passing this drone exam, so let me make a course for it. And I was falling into the, and I won't say falling into, but I was taking the approach of what I mentioned the first time, where I was a little bit more of the perfectionism trap. But I really just thought, hey, I just want this to be good. So I had an idea in my head of what it should look like, you know? So I thought, all right, well, I had kind of the outline down. I started off by basically writing an ebook, like a study guide book. It was about 100 pages long, and that took me a while. So that helped me at least get the content down. Because really, if you think about it, a course is is almost like an audiobook with visuals in a way. So I wrote the study guide, and then I used that as sort of my template for creating the course videos. So I utilized other people in this course. I had two other instructors, or actually three other instructors, and myself. And so I would write the scripts for them. They would review the scripts to be like, yeah, that sounds like something I would approve of saying. And then they would use those scripts to film the videos because we were recording stuff on regulations, legal stuff. And so I got an attorney to do those. And then we were recording stuff on weather. And so I found a meteorologist actually to do those videos. And I was trying to minimize the work on them because they were kindly doing it for free because they were all also trying to get into kind of the drone space. So I was like, all right, well, let me just go absolute minimum time investment for you. I'll write everything out. I'll do all the scripting. You just have to read it over, make any corrections that you would like to make sure that, you know, you're approving it because you're the one going to be on camera. And then we'll film. I'll film everything and then you're done. I'll do all the editing. I'll do everything else. So it was a lot of work. I wrote this ebook. I ended up writing all these scripts. I got all these videos. I got all these videos done, and then you know, I never really released it because I kept wanting to film more videos. I had all these different sections. I had in my head all these lessons need videos. So it took me more than 6 months probably to finish this course. And then once I was done filming everything, I wanted them to be edited really nice. I had it in my mind, like, here's how it needs to look. And I was like putting in notes. I got like animators and motion graphics people to do animations for it. So I'd write in notes like, hey, I want to see a visual of a drone flying up into the sky over this mountain and show the distance between this and this. Because I'm thinking, to explain these things, you can't just speak to people. You have to like visually show things to explain it. And then on a lot of the stuff that I was doing, I was explaining charts and maps and stuff. And so I was using something like a screen capture software where you could do annotations and animations on top of it, and that took me forever. So anyways, long story short, I went the really high, I tried to go really high quality, and I didn't have a ton of money. I did have some money, so I tried to go high quality, so I was gonna go, all right, you know, high quality with editors, motion graphics, and I used money for that, but then I ran out of money. I didn't have anybody left to edit it, so I ended up doing a lot of that myself, which made that fast part slow down. So I took the slow and good approach, I think, the first time. And I thought, I think maybe naively, for the first several years I had my business, I'm thinking, man, I shouldn't have done that. I should have gone faster, and I shouldn't have worried about the quality so much, and I should have launched it earlier. But I think that would have ended up shooting me in the foot, because if you look at the audience for that course, it's a lot of individuals, but also it ended up being a lot of corporations, a lot of partnerships, and there were a lot of other courses that kind of popped up. And our quality of our course and the instructors was like the one differentiating factor that helped it stand out and got it customers with like corporate people. It didn't look like a random screen recording of some random dude in his bedroom, you know, filming on Loom. It was a professional looking course. So I think that helped me win some corporate business and helped give it some more legitimacy. And if I would have just kind of taken the shortcut approach and gone quick, then I don't think we would have had that. All right, so that's why I went the good approach. And then later in my business, we were trying to launch other courses, and it just takes so long. I'm like, oh gosh, I just need to get these things out the door. So what I would do, and I may have talked about this before on the podcast, is I would set like a date. I'd say, hey guys, we're going to launch this course on this date, and I would take pre-sales. And that would put pressure on me to finish it by a certain date. And we would release it like 1 week at a time. So at least that would give me some time to drip the course out and work on the content as we went. So that was really good. So if you need to meet a deadline, right? If you're having problems just getting the stuff done and getting it out the door, I think setting a deadline like that, doing a pre-sale and releasing it is good. If your problem is, I'm just taking too long on this and I can't get it done, that at least gives you some pressure and forces you to get it done. And then you can always go back later and make it nice. But my problem ended up being, we're like, all right, let's launch this course. And we would do these courses, and then we'd be like, oh, you know what? We actually want to go back later and make these nice. But sometimes we wouldn't take the time to do that, or we would wait a while to do that. And then I didn't feel great about selling the original product because I'm like, ah, I don't feel like it's as good as it could be. And so you end up hitting a lot of those obstacles and roadblocks. So I would say pros to the fast and cheap version, which means it's not that good. Pros are that you get something out there and you can test it. And I think that's important, because if you spend a ton of time on something and you spend a ton of effort on something and then you throw it out there and it's actually not what the market wants, well, then you wasted a lot of time and effort. So I would opt for fast and cheap for your initial launch, test it. But then once you know it's got good market acceptance and people are buying it and they're giving you feedback and you're making sales, that's when you really need to make it good. Don't just leave it at a subpar product of what you know it could be. Double down on the good stuff and say, okay, people really like this. Let's make this from okay and people are buying it to great, and it's going to outperform everybody. So luckily, we just happened to get good market acceptance on our product from the outset, and I got really lucky on that. And I knew there was going to be a lot of demand because I knew that was going to be a required test. But if it wasn't that, I don't think I would have been successful, because I would have taken a ton of time on a course that may or may not have worked. So I think it's always best to go fast and cheap when you're doing your first launch. Maybe teach it live, whatever you need to do. And then get some feedback. And this is what we've done now. Get some feedback. Hey, what needs to be improved? What you guys like, didn't like? Do we need to add any lessons? And then we go back and we do it nice. We film it with nice cameras. We pay editors to go through it. We add graphics that are if they're needed. We pay designers to write workbooks and all that stuff to make it really good. So you can have good and fast, but you just got to have money to shell out, because you got to shell out money for editors. You got to shell out money for, graphic designers, motion graphics, curriculum writers, all that stuff. So luckily, once our business started working well and we were making money, I could go good and fast, but it wasn't cheap. You know, I'm paying authors, or I'm paying, course teachers to teach the course. That's costing me five figures. I'm paying another few thousand dollars for design, workbooks, editing. So I might have, 20 to 50 grand invested in creating one new course. But I'm willing to do that at a certain point because I know, hey, I've got my email list, and if the past tells me anything, I know that this course is going to be successful and we'll make that money back, especially if we do a test run teaching it live and it's received well. So anyways, as I think about that, I used to think fast and cheap was the only way to go afterwards. And I really am coming back to the mindset of, no, you know what? The more you focus on the quality of your product, it can really stand the test of time. I mean, that course that I mentioned that we developed at the very, I was talking about the beginning, the test prep course, I made that back in 2016. And that course is still selling today. It just crossed $3 million in lifetime sales. So, I mean, gosh, I think if I wouldn't have spent the time to make that thing good, would that have done 3 million in sales? Probably not. So yeah, just next time you're thinking about it, if you need to get it launched, go fast and cheap. Then as soon as it's got market acceptance, take the time to make it great. So I hope that helps. That's something that I've been thinking about, something I've been learning. Get out there, take action, make stuff happen. See y'all next time.